So, welcome to this unscripted podcast on how to deal with chaos in daily life. Now, the reason we're doing this is because both Shireen and myself have had a lot of stuff going on with lots of people and projects and details and emails and messages, and you know how it is. It just goes on and on and on. And there's two types of work in life. There's like our manager work, where there's endless stuff to do and all these meetings and everything, and then there's creative work or maker work, where we, you know, meditation and focusing on bigger projects and going on walks and that sort of more relaxing sort of things. I personally prefer the latter, going on walks, doing big projects, and I don't particularly enjoy loads and loads and loads of conversations and meetings and back-to-back projects, and it's just too much. But we have to deal with both, and life is full of both of these things. And Shireen is very, very good at dealing with this relative to me. I mean, I'm doing all right, but Shireen, she's got much more experience, and she does way more of it. So I just wanted to find out from her what she's doing and how she maintains her sanity despite everything, right? How do you do it, Shireen? How do you handle all these people and projects?
First, thank you for the blessing. Thank you for the blessing. It took time, right? I guess it's just practice. I mean, I've been doing this for many decades, actually. I'm dating myself here. And so it took time and it took a lot of practice. And initially, I think the problem came when my vision for myself, right, when I used to see myself, and I used to see myself as a creative person, as someone who writes, and this is what I want to do with my life, I used to see myself that way. Then I had to see myself differently, because the way I saw myself was affecting the outcome of what I was doing.
Yeah, so you thought of yourself as a more creative type person, and so when you found yourself doing all these other things, then there was a mismatch between your identity and your life, and it wasn't very happy connection, because there's a, like, I want to be doing this, but I'm doing this, and my identity is this. But
right, because I saw myself a certain way, right? There was that one thing, the way I saw myself, and also the value I gave each one. I felt it was more valuable to do the writing and things versus the other stuff. And then over time, somehow, when I understood that I am God's instrument, I am a trustee and I have to do what needs to be done, then I understood the value of both. I understood that both are valuable, and especially dealing with people, right? So if I just, when I used to see myself, right, when I used to just see myself as a creative person and that's all I want to do with my life, that's where my gift is, I used to be very short with people. And then I realized that, because if they interrupted, right, and I constantly get interrupted all the time, all the time. And so I used to get really worked up. It's like, oh, I was in the middle of doing something, and then I, you know, the flow got interrupted, all of these things. And then because I used to see myself that way, and because I used to give more value to it, whenever I got interrupted, I wouldn't be a happy camper, and it would show on my face, and it would show with the way I interacted with people and stuff. And I hurt a lot of people that way. And so I had to really learn to do it in a way that I don't hurt people.
Right. I know what you mean. Like, 'cause when I'm writing books, I haven't written a book in a while, but I have spent a lot of time writing. And I remember being interrupted. And I'm like, the thing is, though, when you're trying to do a creative project, a simple interruption, like someone knocks on the door and says, would you like to do this thing? Would you like to have lunch? Would you like to whatever? It might be very sweet and nice, but they've actually just messed up your creative flow. And so there's an understandable reason why we get frustrated about this. But we don't want to upset people, because that's not, of course, good either. You know,
right, so. Because at one point I understood that giving sorrow is not a good idea. You know, because we're used to it, right? There is a certain, before I start my spiritual path, the way I speak or whatever I used to think, whatever, it's their problem, they're taking sorrow and stuff. But at one point, I really told myself, no, I'm not going to give sorrow to people. I can take responsibility for the way I talk, the way I interact with people. I can be an instrument for God and make this valuable, that this person is valuable. And so, and that's how I feel now. If I mean today, like I got two or three interruptions, I mean, randomly, but I totally shifted my focus. I said, no, this person is valuable. I have to spend time with this person.
Yeah. So it's changing the consciousness that, that people are more valuable than projects in a way. That's sort of,
or even my idea of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Or that I shouldn't give sorrow is more important than writing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure it needs to be one or the other, though, isn't it? Because, like for example, with creative stuff, it's not like in order to be creative, you actually genuinely do need long periods of time uninterrupted to do a good job of it. That's just, anyone who's creative knows that that's the truth. So I suppose the key thing is to create blocks of time where people can't interrupt you, or there's a thing on the door, or you know, like there's ways of doing this so that what happens is if someone doesn't expect you to react in a certain way and they knock on the door and then you get upset, then that's of course not ideal. But if people know during this period of time I'm just unavailable and it's nothing personal, and I'll talk to you later, then they won't get upset because this been established in advance, isn't it?
Right. I'm not saying it's either or. Definitely both are important. Otherwise, I wouldn't write as much as I did. Both are very important. But I feel that if I approach people differently, if I approach them as like a wealth, right? That they are wealth in my life. They are like valuable currency. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Yeah. Like they're wealthy. That's part of my wealth.
Right.
And then I felt I didn't get as upset, right? Because people do it anyway. You know, it's my life is like, it's a public life, you know, like people come, people go, people, all of those things are happening. And so, just because I tell people that doesn't mean anyone's going to listen or pay attention to that, right? I could get up and leave and go somewhere and take a cabin in the woods and just go do that. But I don't have that kind of luxury either. And so I have to live with the interruptions. And I have to learn to channel my creativity through the interruptions. And I think that's something I had really learned to do. It's okay, I get interrupted, then I go back and I do it right away. I don't dwell on what happened. Mm-hmm. If I get upset, I realize that it gets worse. If I just lean into it, go with the flow, see what needs to happen and then come back, then it's just easier to come back into the project.
Yeah, getting upset doesn't help anything, does it really?
No, it doesn't.
No, that's for sure. So, I mean, one is when we're trying to do creative work and we're being interrupted, right? And how do you, that's the topic. And there's, of course, I was learning this recently that a lot of people, just as a practical thing, have maker days and manager days. And mm-hmm. I can do that myself quite if I want to. You know, I can tell people, don't contact me on these days because I'm doing my work, you know, but I'm totally available on these other days, right? So if you, that's a way of dealing with that issue, so that both things get taken care of in a healthy way. But other times there's just way too many things going on in general. You know, there's just, I think what's happening in our world is everything's getting sped up. And there's right. more karmic accounts being settled, and there's more complication, and technology is more complex. Everything's more complicated, right? There's more and more and more, and it's complicated on top of that. So you've got this exponential growth of complicated systems and situations. So how do you deal with just the fact that there's more complication just overall in a day?
Let's say today, for example, right? I had my day set. I wanted to do this, 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 and then I wanted to make our, you know, appointment time in time. I wanted to do all of these things. And then I got, people came and they said, I really need to talk to you. I need to do this and that. And so I did, right? I did talk to them. I didn't tell them, oh, I have all of these things scheduled and I have to make this appointment. Mm-hmm. I did talk to them. And one of the person that was so grateful, they gave me so many blessings. And I feel that's what keeps us going, is the blessings of people. Yes, we do get interrupted. Yes, there all of these things are happening and all these people are there. But we do get a lot of blessings from them. And I always feel like a few months ago, there was this soul who wanted to really talk to me. And I was just not in that frame of mind because I was finishing a project. I was doing something else and I was doing something else. And I kept postponing it. I didn't want to talk to this person. And then I realized, you know, for me, it's just an hour. For them, it could change their life. And so I'm okay doing that, right? I'm okay putting aside everything and giving this hour to this person, which turned out to be 2 or 3 hours. But either way, I'm okay doing that because the blessings that we get are so valuable.
That's true. You know, being of service is its own reward, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, I remember I was at this Peace Village retreat recently. You were there as well, and in New York. And it was really quite back-to-back-to-back-to-back sort of a retreat with lots of meetings and this and that. And but I enjoyed it, actually. I enjoyed it because it was nice to connect with everyone and to being around other good people, you know, good high-level souls. Not sure I could handle that level for large amounts of time, though, to be perfectly honest. a lot of people said they needed a week to recover, you know, because there's so many things. So, I mean, we've only got 24 hours in a day, right? And there's all these different things that need dealing with. So I personally feel like it's important to have a clear idea of what our intentions are for the day, write a list, and try and stick to it as best as possible, because otherwise it's just chaos, isn't it? If someone wakes up and they're like, what's going on? And they just respond to messages all day long. That's not going to necessarily work out very well. So having some structure, and then there will be things that get thrown in there in between, but if we don't make our own schedule, then it's just going to be chaos, don't you think?
Absolutely. No, there has to be a schedule, but I do understand that the schedule doesn't always match up. Yeah. But yes, you're right. There has to be a schedule. You have to have a, you know, I write down what all the things I need to get done. Mostly I write it down, not because I need to get it done, because if I put it on paper, then I'm not thinking about it. Then I next task, I just go look at it and then get on with the next one. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, right, people are more important than all of that. Because in so many ways, right, we are so lucky. As a society, we are very lucky. We are living in a very good time. And as individuals, you and I are very lucky that we get to do service. To be of service to humanity is a big fortune. And I'm always I always remind myself of that. It's fortune. It's my fortune. This soul in my life is my fortune because they are a fortune. They are a blessing in my life.
Right. Yeah. So it's the key thing I'm taking from this is to put people above anything else, basically. I mean, maybe not above God. I mean, God has to be at the top. But in other words, to be loving as a priority, to have a loving energy towards others, you know, because we don't know who we're going to meet or what's going to happen next, or these unexpected things come in from various places. And to think about that, that's like the meta, that's the higher mission, is to stay in a loving place and to give love and blessings beyond achieving things. Because I think that's where the conflict is, isn't it? On the one hand, we want to achieve things and get things done. But on the other hand, there are people who may actually be, in some ways, an obstacle to getting these things done. Like, because we want to spend an hour on this thing and someone's... But really, if the bigger mission is, how can I be a loving, caring person, a loving being, a loving soul, then that's a higher level than the thing. Because at the end of the day, what's the point in all these projects and stuff anyway, is to help people. That's what I've thought about when I'm like, oh, but I haven't got time to do my projects. I'm like, yeah, but what's the point of the project? It's to help people out. And there are people there who need help, so why don't you just get on with it? So that's how I think about this, is that the loving energy that goes into everything is of a higher priority than anything else is.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and it could be achievement, right? Like if, say, I'm spending time with someone and it helps them in some way. Mm-hmm. And it's so good, you know, if one person has transformed their life in a day, right? That's a huge thing. Like, why are we here? So that people have a better life, right? And so if even one person, you make a difference for one person in a day, I feel that's good. Though I would rather get all my projects done. I would rather do all of those things. Because right now I just feel like, oh my God, they just keep piling up.
I know. It's endless, isn't it? It just goes on.
Right. But then I just look at people and I look at their smile and I look at who they are and I realize they're a blessing in my life. I'm very fortunate. I'm very wealthy to have all of these people in my life, and it's good.
Yeah, it's everyone is here. Because being in solitary confinement is the greatest form of punishment, isn't it? To not be around anyone. So people are here and we can connect with them and give blessings, receive blessings. It's a wonderful thing. To put that at the top of the list. See, the thing is, a lot of spiritual things, it's not either or, it's and, you know. So one is put Absolutely. People at the top of the list and organize our day so that we can actually get stuff done, because we all have stuff to do. And otherwise we end up, that's another problem, isn't it? If we spend our whole time dealing with various situations and we don't do the things we need to be doing, then we're causing
right?
another problem, right? So that's not like, it's not just, we can just do that and ignore that.
Yes, yes. I feel that balance, right? Because balance is the balance of two positive things. Like mm-hmm. both are positive and we have to have a balance of both.
Mm-hmm.
And so that balance of both is so important. To realize that, no, if I don't balance this, if I don't give equal weight to this and this, then, you know, I'm going out of balance. Because not that one is more important than the other, both are important.
Yeah, that's the paradox of life, is that they're both equally important and they both need 100% priority. Which is not actually,
you know,
possible.
Many times I feel it's God's task, right? I'm just helping. I'm a worker, you know, like I'm a worker bee in the task, like one of the worker bees. And then I just keep giving it to God, right? Like in a day, like today, I just kept giving it to God, like you have to make this happen. And somehow the load becomes lighter.
Yeah, it's not our problem, is it? Like, this is one of the methods that we get given in spiritual practice, is give your burdens to God. Don't take them on. I remember hearing this quote, what was it? Why do you insist on carrying burdens? That was the quote. I thought, that's a very interesting question. Why do you insist on carrying burdens when God wants to take them away?
It's a habit, right?
It's fascinating, yes. You know. Oh, no, but it's my burden. You know, I'm insisting. It's like
such a habit.
It's such a bizarre.
Such a habit.
And it's very unpleasant, isn't it, to be carrying the weight of all these different things that need to be done on our shoulders and making a big fuss about it.
Do you know what I've been doing lately? It's a meditation technique I've been employing, is I talk to myself a lot. So I see myself as a soul, and the soul is talking to the soul, right? The soul is talking to itself. And I'm watching neutrally, I'm watching my pattern, mm-hmm. you know, this self-sabotaging pattern of carrying a burden or whatever, feeling upset because I'm not able to do something, all of that, right? I'm watching as a detached observer what is going on, and I'm being neutral about it. I'm not saying, oh, bad me, I shouldn't have done this mm-hmm. and I shouldn't have whatever, right? No, I'm just watching as a neutral. And then I'm talking to myself and I'm saying, you know, this is, you will find happiness in this if you do it the other way. Really, there's a false belief operating, thinking that my happiness lies in this and not this. And so I gently just tell myself, you know, there is happiness, right? If you do it this way, even though this might seem temporarily more important and more happiness and more gratification, no, there's happiness in doing it this way. And so gently talking to myself really is helping me shift away from this. Like, you have to see yourself and really talk to yourself.
What comes to mind when you say that is that we can think that only when I do this other thing am I going to be happy, right? And so what that does is we're saying, I want to do this, but I'm dealing with this. I don't want to deal with this. And so that causes conflict, doesn't it? Because that other thing is actually there, and the thing that we want isn't there. And I think a lot of people, I've talked to many of my students over the years, and they've said that they feel like everything they're doing is the wrong thing. I mean, I've been in that situation myself where I think, I don't want to do this, I want to do this, but I can't do that because I'm doing this. And then they do the other thing, and they might think, well, I shouldn't be doing this, I should be doing this. And that can go on and on and on all day long, potentially. Oh, I shouldn't be eating this, I should be eating that. And I shouldn't be talking about this, I should be talking about this. And I shouldn't be working on this, I should be working on that. And so that actually, what I've noticed is that creates a terrible amount of stress in the body, because there's this, I shouldn't be and I am. Whereas the alternative to that is to say, it is what it is. It is what it is. This is what's going on right now. So I'm gonna embrace it because this is it. Like, I am in this moment, and this is the thing that's happening in this moment. And I find that actually provides a lot of enthusiasm and peace, you know, because once I accept the fact that I am here and I am doing this thing, then I can just give it my heart, you know, and just say, okay, sure, this is, I wanted to do this, but this is happening. So I'm going to just go for it, do the best I can and have fun with it, rather than resisting it, because the resistance causes terrible stress.
Absolutely. Resistance does cause terrible stress.
Mm-hmm.
To just lean into things, right? Let's just lean into it.
Yeah.
And for me, not only leaning into it, but like really talking to myself and saying, you know, it's fine. There is happiness in this. You will like this, right? Why are you resisting it? You will like it.
I think that's the big skill, is to choose to be okay with what is in the moment and say, this is happening and there is all these things going on, and to give it our love. Give it our love, you know. I'll give it like a practical example, right? So I've got loads of projects going on. I've got too many projects and too many people, in my opinion. Like, it's just too much, right? Right now, I'm just being honest. And so then I sometimes pick up my phone, right? And I'm like, got more messages about random things and this and that. And I'm like, this is just way over the top. My initial response is, oh, I can't handle this. I need to run for the hills and get help, get a personal assistant or another personal assistant, you know. But the other response is, it is what it is. So just give blessings, you know, just like, it is what it is. Because I think this is probably going to get more and more crazy as time goes on. It's not going to get less. We're not even in a situation where there are wars or anything like that happening, which is happening in other places, right? So we already have a lot going on as it is. If you imagine there was a war, and then the electricity gets cut out, and then people are, things are being blown up and you can't buy things because of disruption in the supply chain and all that stuff happens. Then you've got this other massive level of complication on top of it all. So this is a skill that is absolutely critical for us to develop in our life.
One of the things that when you were saying something that I was thinking about is ultimately we have to learn to meditate while doing everything,
mm-hmm.
right? While talking to people, I have to meditate. While writing, I have to meditate. While doing everything, I have to meditate. That's the ultimate goal, is to consider myself to be a soul and remember God, right? So whatever I'm doing, that's my ultimate aim. That is my ultimate aim. And if I'm able to do it, whatever I'm doing, and learn to be able to do it, whatever I'm doing, then it doesn't matter what I'm doing. It doesn't matter where I am. It doesn't matter what I'm doing, because that's the ultimate aim.
Yeah, that's a very deep thing, isn't it? It's, I think that comes back to prioritizing our state of consciousness over everything else, basically. It's a very deep habit, isn't it, to think, oh, once I finish this, this, and this, then everything will be all right. You know, I was aware of this when I was at college years and years ago when I was a student. And I remember thinking to myself, once I finish this project and hand it in, because I did art college, so I had these art pieces and then they would end, and then I'd have like a 3 week or a month break, right? And I was thinking, once I finish this project, then everything will be great. That's what I thought, right? So then I'd hand my project in and I'd have this month off, and then I'd realize there'd be two new projects that come up, and then I'd do it again and again. And I remember catching myself thinking, Michael, has it ever actually ended, really? When has it ever really come to an end? And I was like, it has never ended, and it just keeps getting more. And I remember finding that quite funny, because this thing about once everything's taken care of, it will be fine, is a false belief, because it's never going to happen. You know, and even if we die physically, we're going to get reborn, and then it's going to carry on, right? So,
right.
So it's like, so that's a radical shift in consciousness, isn't it? A paradigm shift, that it is what it is now, and I might as well just try and enjoy it as best I can from a high space. And
maybe all these projects, everything is coming to, is like a practice field, right? Where can I meditate while doing this? Can I meditate while hanging all these projects hanging over my head? Can I meditate while talking to this person? Can I do this?
This is a very deep thing, isn't it? So what we're really talking about is going from this state of, I want to get my life organized exactly how I like it, and then I'll feel better, to saying it is exactly as it's supposed to be. And can I maintain my happiness regardless? That's a big shift in awareness, you know, because otherwise we can literally spend our whole life trying to make everything nice and neat, but it just goes on and on and on, doesn't it?
Right, it does.
You know, there's always an upgrade physically, isn't there? I had someone come around and update some stuff on my doors, you know, the thing underneath the door, so the mosquitoes from the scorpions can't get in under the door. And then... because there was a bunch of scorpions. I came back from Hawaii and I was like, scorpions in the house. I'm like, how do they get in here? Right? They came
out
the door.
Oh my God. Oh my
God. So that's all been done.
That would totally freak me out.
Yeah. So there's no scorpions, right? Scorpions and what are the other ones? Crickets. The crickets keep getting in.
That's good to know. That's good to know.
So if you're getting crickets and scorpions, you need to change the thing on your house so they can't get in. But so anyway, that was done. And then... but there's something wrong with it, so that needs to be fixed. And this could go on indefinitely, couldn't it? Oh, but I could move this thing around and fix this thing here. And when does it ever end? You know, just like one topic, house, just one topic, making the house nice. It can go on and on and on. And then what about the garden? That could always be improved. And then what about this relationship? That could be improved. What about this one, this one, this one, this one, this one? What about my money? What about blah, 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 blah? So every single area could potentially be improved indefinitely. And if we think that only once it's all done am I going to actually finally relax, we're not going to be very relaxed ever. Anyway, this is unscripted podcast. We thought we would just share what was coming up for us, and hopefully it's been helpful. Let's have a blessing. A blessing.
A blessing. You want to pick a number?
26.
26 is delight.
Oh, there we go. Fantastic.
You've allowed your inner child to come out and play in the cosmic theater of life. You savor the beauty of life's innumerable wonders with a sense of amazement that rejuvenates your spirit and fills you with joy.
Ah, there it is. Yeah, that's the attitude towards everything.
Delight.
Yeah, I think I remember talking to you about something like this before, and you pulled something like that then. You know, what am I going to do about this? Just be in delight about it. It's not what you'd expect normally. All right. Thank you so much, Shireen, for your lovely presence. Thank you for everyone
watching.
Thank
you, Michael. Thank you, Michael.
Yay. Talk to you next week. Om Shanti.